May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1044. 1044. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. Hymn 1044.
Holy Word of God, we'll read together the first Epistle of Peter, chapter 2. The first Epistle of Peter, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word. May he teach us now how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we return thanks for gathering us together here this evening once more around thy holy word. And Lord, we do thank thee and praise thee for this opportunity to gather for worship. We do pray that here this night there may be that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. Lord, we pray that thou bring to each of our remembrance all of the many mercies and favours that are ours. And Lord, may we come before thee now with true thanksgiving. Lord, we pray that it might please thee to reveal something of our unworthiness in the light of all the many favours and blessings that we do have. And surely, dear Lord, if it's shown to us what our sins deserve, and then how thou hast dealt with us, then, Lord, must there not be a true thanksgiving? And may we not then enter truly into the words, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so we thank thee for this privilege of public worship, this collective time of worship here together. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to presence thyself here among us. The Holy Spirit may come in power and assurance, working in the hearts of each one of us, taking of the things of Jesus, revealing them to us, granting the power and unction upon the reading, the preaching of thy word, stirring up in our hearts true praise and worship, enabling us to truly sing with the heart and the understanding also. Lord, we do pray that thou would have mercy upon us. Lord, there are things, Lord, that would distract us, take away our thoughts, our minds. Lord, we meet for a midweek service, And there have been things that we've been dealing with in our day-to-day lives. Lord, we pray now that as we've come into this house of prayer, it may prove a little sanctuary to us, that we may be apart from the rest of the world for a season. And grant us, Lord, this hour in thy house of prayer, that we may have our thoughts and our affections drawn heavenward, that thou clear our minds of unnecessary things, and that thou draw us to thyself. Lord, we pray that thou work mightily in each one of us. And Lord, we meet and the weather is hot. We pray, Lord, that thou be with us in these things. But Lord, we do thank thee for the seasons and thy faithfulness to thy word. We pray that thou keep us each from a complaining, a murmuring spirit. Lord, may we be thankful for thy mercies and thy favours. For Lord, thou hast promised seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease while the earth remaineth. Oh Lord, we do praise thee then for thy faithfulness. Despite the many sins and iniquities that are ours. And we pray, Lord, that thou be with us and help us in our daily lives. We pray, Lord, that thou lead us and guide us in that right path. We pray, Lord, for the church and congregation here, Lord, that they may be led and taught by thy Spirit. And as they meet for worship week by week, and as thy servants come in and out among them, Lord, we do pray that thy work will appear and grant thy blessing, Lord, upon the gathering of this people week by week. And Lord, may thy servants prove to be the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message, that thy people may be fed and instructed, and Lord, their needs supplied in providence and in grace. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt follow with thy blessing the things spoken here in thy name. And Lord, as there are friends, Lord, who are listening in from time to time on the live stream, we do pray that thou wilt own and bless thy word wherever it may be received. For Lord, we do thank thee that thy word is not bound. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless it to the good of souls. And those, Lord, that may listen in even this evening, may they feel thy presence, though separated from this house of prayer. And so, Lord, we pray for any who are in affliction, any, Lord, who are in difficulties or troubles of one sort or another. Lord, we do pray thy gracious supporting hand may be upon them. We pray for healing mercies to those which are unwell. We pray, Lord, for thy supporting hand, for those, Lord, that may be walking out trials and perplexities. Lord, we pray that in these things, our times of weakness and sorrow and affliction, Lord, at times when thy judgments are abroad, At times, Lord, when there's personal trials, we pray that the enemy of souls may be kept from us each. That thou deliver us, Lord, from that wrong spirit. That thou guard and watch the door of our lips. That we may not speak unadvisedly. That we may not be left to charge God foolishly. But rather that we may be brought humbled before thee. That it may be, humble thyself, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, we pray that we may prove thy care, thy particular and special notice of us poor worms of the earth. Lord, we pray that thou work in the hearts of each one, from the youngest to the eldest. Leave none out and pass none by. Lord, in the workings of thy grace within the souls of thy people, may each one of us be partakers. Lord, may we each be born again of the Spirit of God, made alive in the things of God, and brought into that love of God, the love of Christ which passeth all understanding. Lord, deliver us from a spirit of fatalism. Deliver us, Lord, from presumption. Deliver us, Lord, from a lukewarmness and apathy, a religion that takes it for granted. Lord, ever keep us stirred up, that we may be striving, pressing, and giving diligence. Lord, that we may not be loitering in the way, but rather, Lord, may we have our loins girded, our staff in our hand, and may we be declaring plainly that we seek a city not made with hands, whose builder and maker is God. Lord, may we be just passing through as pilgrims, looking for and hoping in that glorious rest that remains for the people of God. Bring us into, Lord, some sweetness of it this side of the grave. May we know what it is to rest in the Redeemer's arms. May we know the preciousness of that precious blood which did for sin atone. And Lord, may we be brought into that rest at last. So, Lord, we pray that thou would help us each. Send out thy light and thy truth. Lord, we pray that thou would remember the children, and we pray that thou would enter in and break through, and, Lord, that thou would begin, if it could please thee, while they're young in life and tender in years. Lord, do keep them from growing up and wandering off into the world, leaving the house of God. May there be, Lord, those that have, as it were, their ears bored to the doorposts of thy house, in whose heart the fear of the Lord is put. And Lord, we do pray that they will not depart from thee all the days of their lives. We pray that the young and rising generation may grow up to be pillars in the church of God here and elsewhere where they may be called by thee. Lord, we do pray that it may favour this place, this village, that there may be a course of truth here to the end of time, and a seed to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And Lord, may there be thy servants raised up and sent forth to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that there may not be a famine in the hearing of the word of God. Lord, we pray that thou remember us in this day we are called to live in. And Lord, as we think of our national scene and the uncertainty in the day we live, we think of, Lord, the things taking place in government at present. Lord, we pray that there may be one set over our nation to be Prime Minister, who will be used of thee, Lord, that we may not continue this turning our backs upon thee and this slide into sin and iniquity. May it be thus far and no further. May this be the beginning of that great change thy people have prayed for and are praying for. Lord Jesus, we pray that thou would have mercy upon us and grant, Lord, that thy favour may rest upon our nation again. And we pray that there may be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this nation. Lord, we pray that it will begin with us. Lord, that there may be thy gracious return scene, the Lord lifting up the light of his countenance upon us, personally and as churches and as a nation. Lord, deliver us from idolatry, from the great sins that we have committed and are committed. Turn the wicked laws out of our nation's statute book. Restore, we pray, thy word and Lord, thy ways in our nation, we pray. Lord, who have mercy upon us. We are not worthy. Lord, we are poor sinners. We have sinned. We have come short of the glory of God. Oh, we pray for mercy. And we pray that the grace of God may be resting upon us as a nation and as churches, that we may have God's favours toward the unworthy. Lord, we pray then. Lord, have mercy upon us in these things. Lord, do restrain the power of sin and Satan, and deliver us. Oh, that thou rend the heavens and come down. Lord, we pray. Remember us this evening as we now turn to thy word. Remember, Lord, each one of us and the needs that we have. Lord, remember those prayers that have been offered up before this service. Lord, do meet and answer each case. Lord, as we leave thy house, we pray thy abiding presence. We pray thy word may not fall in the wayside, but there may be those things that remain and abide impressed upon our souls, burnt in by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, do remember us for good. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Take away all our sins, we humbly pray. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 956 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. O, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 21. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. I wonder this evening if you and I are among these that our text mentions. It's described as being called. For hereunto were ye called. And in this chapter we have things spoken, there are things mentioned, the apostle writes concerning those that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He speaks of those that believe, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Well, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if he's been merciful to your cry concerning your soul, your sin, and your standing before him as a sinner, and blessed you with a good hope through the precious sin atoning death and sufferings of Jesus Christ, then he will be precious. He will be precious. And the apostle says, ye are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Well, are we among them? Am I? Are you? And do these things ever come into our consideration? And what can we answer regarding it? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye, and notice this is personal, it's the singular, and it is everyone, the church, the body of Christ, many members, one body, many members, and each one, each member, one soul, and it's personal, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you. You see, this is a beautiful expression, isn't it? Called you out of darkness and into his marvellous light. And you younger ones, you often hear, I'm sure you've often heard, of that expression, being called by grace. Well, this is it. This is the call by grace, isn't it? Described by the Apostle Peter. He has called you out of darkness. That's the darkness of sin and death. The darkness that we were in by nature, into his marvellous light. Two different states. Darkness and light. Death and life. Now, there was a word on my mind, one word, and it was that word, enmity. Enmity. And I wonder if it'd be a wonderful thing if the Lord would give us each this self-examination. Enmity. What is enmity? I wrote it down. A state or feeling of active opposition or hostility. That's what enmity is. A state of feeling, a state or feeling of active opposition or hostility. And the Apostle Paul describes the state of one in the world, the one that is dead in trespasses and in sins, and that's your state and mine before a call by grace. This is how we're born. He says this in Romans chapter 8. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, that's a worldly mind, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, this is it, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is in a state of active opposition against God and hostility toward him. That's you and I by nature. Because the carnal mind, or the mind of the world, the worldly mind, the mind that we have when we're born, it is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they are that are in the flesh, in this carnally minded state, cannot please God. And he goes on to say, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, this then, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, called you from a state of enmity, an opposition against God, into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God. That's the change, that's the call by grace, that's the difference grace makes in the life and in the heart of a believer. It takes the enmity against God away. It takes that enmity away. This opposition against God and his ways and his word, and this rebellion that's in us by nature, and that enmity, that desire, I will not have this man to reign over me. That is what is perceived. And I do believe this, that there are many degrees of faith, and there are many stages, as it were, in the experience of God's people. But I believe this to be true of every one of them. If they search their hearts, there is this enmity removed. There may be many failings on their part, many shortcomings in their own profession and walk, but the enmity against God will be one thing that every child of God, every true believer should and must be able to discern. This enmity against God. Oh, they're in a body of sin, and it's a struggle, and they're constantly plagued by the enemy of souls. Except the Lord give them some sweet glimpses and glimmers along the way, and some sweet rest from these temptations. But on the most part, that there is a continual assault of Satan, and there is much on their part where they find themselves to be failing and coming short. But the enmity will be gone. They're called away out of that past life, where it was, going back to our definition, that state or feeling of active opposition or hostility toward God, to a desire, at least a desire, to do those things which are right. When sometimes, if not often, they fail in that desire, yet the desire will be there. And it will be like the Apostle Paul. And it will be, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And it comes back to our deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then he goes on to exhort us to these Christian duties and the way that we should live our lives. And may you and I, may we not be neglectful of these things. You're chosen. You are called. And you're called to show forth his praises. Think about it. It is a calling. I remember I went to Ebenezer Chapel, Luton, and Mr. Raymond Woodhams was preaching. And it wasn't long, it was only a few months, I think. It must have been maybe, I don't know, an Easter service or something. Anyway, I went to this service, and I spoke to him afterwards, and I'd only just not long been sent out to preach. And he said to me, "What's your calling?" And I thought to myself, well, is he expecting me to tell him on the chapel doorstep that my call to the ministry or my call by grace? So I began to say a few things. He said, no. What's your calling? And what he meant was my occupation. What was my occupation? Well, at that time I was working, and I told him. That was my calling. It's what occupied my time, shall we say. During the day is my calling. Well, there is a calling, dear friends. You all have your calling maybe in your occupation, And that calls on your time. But do not forget the calling. Those of you that have that desire to follow the Lord, those of you who, I would call you believers, those of you to, in whose heart the enmity that was there by nature has now been removed. You are called. There's another calling. And there's another calling on your time. And there's a calling on your mind. And we have to give an account how we spend our time. And how we occupy our time. And what occupies our minds. And oh, may the Lord help us each. That our secular callings do not overcome and outweigh the calling that is spoken of in our reading this evening. There's a calling. Now, we're told a number of things. We're told that we are called. He's called us and chosen us, a peculiar people. That means that we're to be different, and we will be different. You and I will be different to the world that lies in sin around us. If you are called out of darkness into light, that should be evidenced. Evidence to you personally, but it should reflect and shine in our lives. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, though they might speak bad of you, yet whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may behold your good works. What a witness. And you've known them. I know you have. You've had them here at Swavesey, and you've had them, haven't you, in your families, former generations. And they have, their light has shone in a day and generation that they are called to live in. Oh, may the Lord help us each to let our lights shine. May we not seek to hide it under a bushel, but rather let it shine as we go about our daily lives. We're to submit ourselves, every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake. We are to fall under the authority for the Lord's sake of those that have power over us, ever remembering that our leaders, our monarch, our prime minister, our government, those in authority over us, are not there by chance. Now we may have, from time to time, wicked and godless leaders. But must we ever remember that this is a judgment upon us as a nation and us personally as individuals? They are not there by chance. Just remember these things, dear friends. Oh, may we humble ourselves under the rod. Because when we have children ruling over us, and I don't mean this to any children disrespecting you, but when we have people that reign and rule over us who do not know how to conduct themselves properly, rightly, honestly, it is a judgment upon our nation. And may we see it as such and humble ourselves under the hand of God, and may we truly beseech the Lord that he might give to us leaders and rulers, those in positions of authority that will bring in things that are of benefit and are of a blessing to the people of God and for the glory of God, and nothing that will hinder the worship of God and our liberty and freedom of worship. Oh, may there be much prayer in these days that we're living in at present. Dear friends, there has been prayers, I've heard them at prayer meetings, for men of honesty and integrity and women of honesty and integrity to be raised up and to be set in positions of authority. Well, we have a time of change. May we not be slack, but may there be a collective, united cry that the Lord would have mercy upon us in these things, ever remembering that they are sent by him, that they are sent by God. And then we have this honouring all men, loving the brotherhood, fearing God, honouring the King, how we should behave at work, those that we work for. Servants, to be subject to your masters, not just to those that are good and gentle, but maybe you've got a boss, somebody that's got a particular position of authority over you, whether it's teachers at school or employers in your workplace, managers, whatever. And he says this, that we are to not only be subject to those that are good and gentle, but also to the froward. We are to seek this higher standard. It is a high calling. It is a high calling. And though we struggle with it at times, oh, may we not desire that the standard be lower, but daily pray for the grace of God to be given to walk out the things that we are instructed in God's word to do, that we might be hearers and doers of the word. And it's enabling grace, and it's the grace of God that's needed, and may he be pleased to give it to us each. Oh, that we might conduct our affairs rightly. He says this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. This is the point this evening, dear friends. This is the calling of our verse. The call by grace calls a sinner to many things. And one of the things that a believer is called to is suffering patiently for well-doing. And what a thing. And what a high mark. And maybe you think it's unachievable, unattainable, to suffer patiently when you do well. This is acceptable with God. And when you and I are maybe called for conscience sake to endure grief, we have to suffer in silence maybe. Maybe you have to endure things that are hard to endure. Oh, there is this foundation, this support, that it is acceptable with God. Acceptable with God. You know, I could speak all night about the times that I've had things, and I could speak all night of the times I've failed. I remember, I had such a difficult time in my life, and there's a whole manner of things that were on me. There was things at work and things at home, and things were just generally hard. And then something happened at work, and it was really, really hard. And I was in such a, what a state I was in. Anger, resentment. I mean, you can think of all the phrases. And I went into a prayer meeting. And one of the brethren gave out that hymn, 1113, and as we sung it, you know, I just felt this melting away, and it was this really the verse 3: no cross or bliss, no loss or gain, no health or sickness, ease or pain can give themselves a birth. The Lord so rules by his command. No good nor ill can stir a hand unless he send them forth. And then it was, teach me with childlike mind to sit and sing at the dear Saviour's feet without distrust or fear. And this really got me, this last verse. So, like a pilgrim, let me wait, contented well in every state, till all my warfare end. Live in a calm. I mean, this wasn't me walking into chapel. Anything but live in a calm and cheerful mood. It was like an arrow. It was like an arrow. And it was dipped in the precious blood of Christ. Dear friends, it broke my heart, and find that all things work for good, which Jesus kindly sent. All things work together for good. Your heavenly Father knoweth. He knows the struggles. He knows your struggles. He knows your own mind, your own will. He knows that the tactics that Satan uses to try and bring you to curse God, to charge God foolishly, to speak ill of him. Oh, but you're called. I am called. Every child of God has his same calling. And we're called to endure grief. And we're called to suffer wrongfully. And we're called to suffer and to suffer patiently, even in the face of those that have done us wrong when we sought to do what is right. This is our calling. It is a high calling. But the Lord Jesus, Peter brings the Lord Jesus to our attention. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. And what can you withhold? And what can you charge him with? If he has suffered for us, what then? What can I charge him with? If he has suffered for me, then I cannot charge him with neglect, and I cannot charge him with hatred toward me. He has suffered for us, leaving us an example. This is the point. Every child of God is to be a follower. We are called to be an imitator. I know we will come short, but it doesn't stop the call and the exhortation for us to be followers, though we will be following and coming short. Yet the standard is set and the pattern is there, that ye should follow his steps. And what did he? He had no sin. He had no sin. You see, the Lord Jesus, he had no sin. And when you and I feel like we should murmur and we should repine because the path is such and such, this is where he gets you. And this is where he gets me. He did no sin. Neither was there guile in his mouth, but he suffered. He suffered. And, oh, how that brings, when the Lord applies it, this will bring you back and bring back me to our right place. When we truly consider, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows everything that you need, but he knows everything that is going on in your life. And everything is purposed. And everything is predetermined. And those things that have taken you by surprise have not been a surprise to him. And may we truly be brought to understand. Give us that spiritual discernment to understand, to truly know that this is our calling and this will be our lot. And we are to be followers of Jesus. And if you and I are true disciples of the Lord Jesus, followers of him, then we should not be surprised that our path is something similar in some regard. He was despised and he was rejected of men. And the world hated him. And if the world hated him, and you love him, and he loves you, and they hate your master, they hate your best friend, then they can be no friend, no true friend of yours. And you will not be a true friend of them, in the fullest sense of the word. Oh, you are to live peaceably with your neighbours, to love your neighbours yourself. But you will not be a true friend of the world. Because the world hates your master, your love, your redeemer. They hate him, they will hate his followers. Be not surprised by these things. We are called, and we are called to endure, we are called to suffer, if need be, from time to time. But we should be content with this, that we are following his steps. And there's a beautiful pattern set before us. He did no sin, there was no guile found in his mouth. But suffer he must. And suffering was predetermined. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Oh, friends, go home. Pray over these following verses. Pray the Lord will lead you to Jesus Christ himself. Pray that you might follow closely. You're called to follow? Oh, pray that you might have that close walk with him. Oh, that you might not follow at a distance, but that in your following in him, and in his steps, and in your suffering for his sake, and as you have to endure things for his sake, that you might know his gracious presence and sweet consolations and comforts in that close walk with him. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. How often our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, in his earthly ministry, in his humiliation, was in prayer. What a pattern he gives us. A life of prayer. And may you and I be frequent at the throne of grace. There it is to offload. Not to your neighbour, to your fellow church member. It is to him. To cast all your care upon him. It's to lay your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He's the one who can help you. He's the one who truly can sympathize. He's the one who knows all about it. He's the one that can make the difference. He's the one that can give you strength and give you grace. Give you a true sense that he cares and notices. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body or on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, friends, may a suffering Saviour ever be brought to our view by faith, when we're in deep and dark places at times, when we feel overwhelmed. When my heart, said the psalmist, is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock. And who is the rock that is higher than I? Who is it? It is surely the man, Christ Jesus. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He is both higher in glory, higher in worth, but he is over us. May his shadow be over us. And may we be content to be close and finding that refuge and that safety and that peace. peace in him. For even hereunto were ye called. Oh, and pray for that grace. He's promised it. And I can tell you this. When the Lord again and again makes known himself in sustaining and helping and giving grace and lifting up and upholding his people, he becomes more and more precious and more needful, and more love pours forth out of a poor sinner's heart, the more he follows in the footsteps of his despised master. Not despised in his eyes, but despised by the world. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege it is. How thankful we should be. What a privilege it is to be a follower of him. To be a disciple of his. What a privilege it is. And oh, may the Lord help us each and bring us into that close walk with him. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. May God add his blessing. Amen.
Willing, there'll be a prayer meeting on Friday evening for members at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 184. 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. In 184.
forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this evening. May everything of thee remain and anything else be forgotten. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.